Jesus said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you."
"Go ahead, teacher," Simon replied.
"Two men owed money to a certain banker. One owed 500 silver coins and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?"
Simon answered, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven."
"You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not greet me with a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little."
Jesus said, "At a wedding celebration, you don't hold back on the cake or the wine because you're celebrating. Later on, you may need to save, but not during the feast. While the bride and groom are with you, it's all joy. Once they leave, fasting can begin. No one throws cold water on a fire while people are gathered around it. This is the coming of the kingdom." He continued, "No one cuts a silk scarf to patch an old garment. You use a patch that matches. Nor do you put wine into cracked bottles. I'll tell you this, no one who has tasted the best quality aged wine will trade it for new wine. If you need any changes or have any specific preferences, please let me know."
Jesus said, "The words I speak are not just additions to your lifestyle, like a home renovation that results in a higher standard. They are the very foundation, the base of your life. If you put these words into practice, you will be like skilled builders who construct their house on the solid rock. The rain falls, the river rises, and the wind blows strong, but nothing can bring down that building. It is built on the rock. But if you use my words only for Bible study, without ever applying them to your life, you will be like foolish builders who construct their house on the sand by the beach. When the storm and waves hit, it will collapse like a sandcastle."
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. They brought to him a servant who owed him the equivalent of 300 tons of silver. He couldn't pay such a massive debt. So the king ordered that the man, along with his wife, children, and possessions, be sold at the slave market. The unfortunate man fell to his knees before the king and pleaded, 'Give me a chance and I will pay back everything.' Touched by the plea, the king let him go, canceling the debt. The forgiven servant had barely left the room when he encountered a fellow servant who owed him just 100 silver coins. Enraged, he grabbed him by the neck and demanded, 'Pay me, now!' The poor man fell at his feet and begged, 'Give me a chance and I will pay back everything.' But the other man remained unyielding. He had him thrown into prison with orders to release him only after the debt was paid. Some other servants who witnessed the scene were outraged and reported the incident to the king. The king summoned the servant back and said, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you your debt when you pleaded for mercy. Shouldn't you also have shown mercy to your fellow servant as I had on you?' The king was furious and handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he paid back all he owed. My Father in heaven will do the same to those who do not unconditionally forgive anyone who asks for mercy."
Jesus said, "To what can I compare this generation? People act like spoiled children, complaining about their parents. 'We want to play hopscotch, but you are always tired. We want to talk, but you are always busy.' John the Baptist came fasting, and you called him crazy. I came feasting, and you called me a drunkard, a friend of the lowly. Opinion polls don't seem to count for much, do they? Only through experience can the truth be proven."
Jesus said, "What do you think? A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so they did not bear grain. Still, other seeds fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times.
Do you understand this? His disciples asked. Why do you speak to the people in parables?
He replied, The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a judge about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. That night, while the workers slept, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away before dawn. When the first sprouts appeared and the grain began to grow, the weeds also appeared. The workers asked the farmer, 'Master, didn't you plant good seed? Where did the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy did this.' The workers asked, 'Do you want us to go and pull up the weeds?' He replied, 'No, because if you pull the weeds, you might uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters to first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.' Then the disciples asked, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He said, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the subjects of the kingdom. The weeds are the subjects of the devil, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, the culmination of history. The harvesters are the angels. The scene in which the weeds are bundled and burned is part of the final act. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all that causes sin and all who do evil and throw them into the blazing furnace. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father.'" Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed planted by a farmer. It is one of the smallest seeds, but once planted, it grows and becomes so large that the birds come and make nests in its branches." Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman mixes into a large amount of flour until it works all through the dough." Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field for many years, until it is accidentally discovered by a person. The person is thrilled by the find and sells everything they have in order to raise the money needed to buy that field." Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is also like a merchant searching for fine pearls. One day he finds a perfect pearl and immediately sells everything he has to buy it." Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is also like a net thrown into the sea, catching all kinds of fish. When it is full, it is pulled up onto the shore. The good fish are collected into baskets, the bad ones are thrown away. This is how it will be at the end of time. The angels will come, separate the bad fish, and throw them away. There will be much weeping and gnashing of teeth, but it will make no difference." Jesus said, "So you must have already noticed that a well-instructed student in the kingdom of God is like the owner of a store who takes from the shelf what is needed, whether new or used, at the moment it is required." Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like seed sown in a field by a man. He goes to sleep and forgets what he has done. The seed sprouts and grows, but he doesn't know how it happens. The earth takes care of everything without his help. First the stalk, then the ear, and finally the grain. When the grain is ripe, he harvests it. It's harvest time." At that moment, to test Jesus, a religious leader asked him, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion, all your prayer, all your intelligence, and all your energy, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Good answer," said Jesus. "Do this and you will live." Wanting to justify himself, he asked, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? "The one who had mercy on him," the religious leader replied. Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Jesus said, "Imagine if you went to a friend's house in the middle of the night and said, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has just come to visit me, and I have nothing to offer him.' But your friend replies from inside, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even if he won't get up because of friendship, he will get up because of your persistence and give you whatever you need. This is what I mean. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. We're not playing a game of hide and seek here. If your child asks for bread, would you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for fish, would you scare him with a live snake on a platter? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. Don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him?" Jesus said, "The land of a rich man produced a bountiful harvest, but he was worried and said to himself, 'What shall I do? My barn isn't big enough to store all this harvest.' Then he decided, 'I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I'll store all the grain and my goods there. And then I'll say to myself, you've done well. You've gathered enough to retire. Now forget your worries and enjoy life.' But God appeared to him and said, 'Fool, you will die tonight, and your large, overflowing barn, who will get it?' This is what happens when you fill your barn with self, not with God. Don't worry about the food you need to put on the table or if your wardrobe is out of style. There is much more to life than the food that goes into your stomach. There is much more to see than the clothes you wear. Look at the birds, free and unburdened. They don't work at a job and live carefree under God's care. And you are worth much more to him than the birds. Can anyone grow an inch taller by worrying in front of the mirror? If worrying can't do anything, then why worry? All that time and money spent on fashion, do you think it makes much difference? Instead of chasing fashion, walk through the fields and look at the wildflowers. They don't dress up or shop, but have you ever seen more beautiful forms and colors? The top 10 best-dressed men and women would look shabby compared to the flowers. If God gives so much attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen,
Don't you think he will care for you, take delight in you, and do his best for you? I want to convince you to relax, not to worry so much about acquiring. Instead, prefer to give, responding to God's care. People who don't know God and how he works fuss over these things, but you know God and how he works. Steer your life according to the reality, initiative, and provision of God. Don't worry about losses, and you'll find that all your needs are met. You are my dear friends. The Father wants to give you his kingdom. Be generous, help the poor. Invest in a bank that will never fail, the one in heaven safe from thieves and fraudsters, in which you can trust. Know that the place you most want to be is near your treasure, and that's where you'll end up. Jesus said, pay attention, keep the lights on, behave like servants waiting for their master to return from the wedding feast. Stay awake and be ready to open the door when he arrives. Responsible servants are highly valued by their master. He will even sit down at the table or serve them the meal, continuing the wedding celebration. It doesn't matter what time of night he arrives, he will find them awake, and how blessed they will be. If the owner of the house knew when the thief was coming, he wouldn't stay out late or leave the door unlocked. So don't be careless and negligent. The Son of Man will come at an unexpected hour. Peter asked, Lord, is this message just for us or for everyone? Jesus replied, let me ask you, who is the trustworthy and wise manager that the master puts in charge of feeding his servants at the proper time? It is the one whom the master finds doing his job when he returns. He is a blessed man. But if that manager says to himself, my master is taking a long time, and begins to mistreat the other servants and spends time partying with friends, the master's arrival will be a sad surprise for him. He will lose his position, and his fate will be the worst possible. The servant who knows the master's will but deliberately ignores it or only does what he wants will be punished. But poor work done out of ignorance will result only in a reprimand. Important positions come with greater responsibility. The more is given, the more is expected. Jesus said, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, but when the time came for figs, there wasn't a single fruit. He said to the gardener, what's going on? For 3 years, I've been coming to collect figs from this tree and found none. It's better to cut it down. Why waste good soil? The gardener replied, let's give it one more year. I'll dig around it and put fertilizer. Maybe it will start to produce next year. If it doesn't, then we'll cut it down. Jesus said, when you are invited to a dinner, don't take the place of honor. Someone more important than you might have been invited, and the host will come and say in front of everyone, excuse me, can you move? This seat of honor belongs to this man. Embarrassed, you will have to take the last seat, wherever there is space. When you are invited to a party, sit in the lowest place. When the host comes in, he will say, what are you doing there? Come up to the front. You will be honored in front of all the guests. What I'm saying is that if you walk around with your nose in the air, you'll end up with your face in the dirt. But if you know how to stay in your place, you will be rewarded. Next time you give a dinner, don't just invite friends, family, and wealthy neighbors who can repay you. Invite some people who are not on your list, the marginalized, the outcasts. Believe me, you will be an experience, a blessing. They may not be able to repay you, but the favor will be repaid, and how? In the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus said, yes. Once a man threw a great feast and invited many guests. When it was time for dinner, he sent a servant to say, come, the dinner is ready. Strangely, everyone began to make excuses, one after another. The first said, I have bought some land and need to go see it. Please excuse me. The second said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and need to test them. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just gotten married and need to be with my wife. The servant returned and told the master what had happened. He became so angry that he told the servant, quick, go out to the streets and alleys of the city. Bring in all those who seem to need a good meal, all the outcasts, the homeless, and the poor you can find, and bring them here. The servant said, I have done what you ordered, but there is still room.
The master then said, "Go to the highways and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet."
Jesus said, "Imagine that one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Won't you leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until you find it? And when you find it, you will joyfully put it on your shoulders and go home. Then you will call your friends and neighbors together and say, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent."
Jesus said, "Imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one of them. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the house until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbors and say, 'Rejoice with me, I have found the coin that I lost.' Truly I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents."
Jesus said, "A man had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Give me my share of the estate.' So the father divided his property between them. Not long after, the younger son gathered all he had and went to a distant country. There he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Jesus said, "A rich man hired a manager. He learned that his employee, taking advantage of his position, was including large personal expenses on the household accounts. So the man decided to confront him. 'What is this I hear about you? You're fired, and I want a full audit of the accounts.' The manager said to himself, 'What will I do now? I've lost my job. I'm not strong enough for manual labor, and I'm too ashamed to beg. Oh, I know. This is what I'll do. Then, when I'm removed, people will welcome me into their homes.' So he did. One by one, he called in the people who owed his master. To the first one, he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' 100 jars of olive oil," was the reply. The manager said, "Here, take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. To another debtor, he said, "And you, how much do you owe?" He answered, 100 sacks of wheat. He said, "Take your bill and write 80. Now comes the surprise. Knowing this, the master praised the dishonest manager. Do you know why? Because he had acted shrewdly. People who survive on the streets are more astute in these matters than the upright citizens. They are always alert, seeking options, living by their wits. I want you to be shrewd, but only for what is right. Use adversity to spark creativity. Learn to focus on what matters. That way you will have a true life. Don't just be good rule followers. Jesus continued, if you are honest in little things, you will be honest in great things. If you are dishonest in little things, you will be dishonest in great things. If you're not honest in small matters, do you think anyone will promote you to manager? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus said, there was a rich man who dressed in the finest clothes, an extravagant example of consumerism. A beggar named Lazarus, covered in sores, used to sit at the gate of his mansion. Lazarus lived off the scraps from the rich man's table, and his best friends were the dogs that came to lick his wounds. But one day, the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side, and he begged, Father Abraham, have mercy. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in this fire. Abraham replied, Son, remember that during your lifetime you received good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. Besides all this, there is a great chasm fixed between us, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross from there to us. Then I beg you, Father, he said, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets, let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. Abraham said, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone rises from the dead. Jesus said, suppose one of you has a servant who comes in from plowing the field or tending the sheep. Will you say to him, come along now, sit down to eat? Won't you rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Jesus said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about people. But there was a widow who kept coming to him saying, grant me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor care about people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she won't eventually wear me out by her persistence. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Jesus said, for some who thought themselves righteous, were content with their moral condition, and looked down on the common people, Jesus told the following story. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, full of himself, prayed, O God, I thank you that I am not like this bunch of thieves, swindlers, adulterers, or like this tax collector. You know that I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all my income. Meanwhile, the tax collector, with his head bowed in a corner, with his hands covering his face, did not even dare to look up. He simply said, God, have mercy, forgive this sinner. Jesus commented, the tax collector, not the other, went home justified before God. If you walk around with your nose in the air, you'll end up face down. But if you humbly see who you are, you will become a better person. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. They agreed to receive a silver coin for the day and went to work. Later, around 9 in the morning, the landowner saw some unemployed people standing in the city square. He proposed that they go work in his vineyard for a fair wage, and so they went. The landowner did the same around noon and again at 3 in the afternoon. At 5 o'clock, he went out and still found men standing idle. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." Then he hired them as well to work in the vineyard. When the day was over, the owner of the vineyard instructed his foreman, "Call the workers and pay their wages. Start with the ones hired last and go on to the first." The workers who were hired at 5 in the afternoon came and each received the same amount agreed upon with the first ones. When those who were hired first saw this, they imagined they would receive more. However, they received the same amount. Outraged, they complained to the landowner, "The last group worked only 1 hour, and you paid them the same as us, who worked like slaves all day under the scorching sun." He replied to the one speaking on behalf of everyone, "Friend, I was not unfair. We agreed on this amount, didn't we? So take your money and go. I decided to give the last group the same as I gave you. Can I do what I want with my money? Are you envious because I am generous?" There it is, once again, the great reversal. The first ending up last and the last ending up first. Jesus said, "Tell me what you think about my story. A man had 2 sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go work in my vineyard.' The son answered, 'I don't want to.' Later, he changed his mind and went. The father gave the same order to the second son. He answered, 'Sure, with pleasure,' but he never went. Which of the 2 sons did what the father asked?" They said, "The first." Jesus said, "Yes, and I tell you that the crooks and prostitutes will enter the kingdom of God before you." John came showing the right way. You turned your backs on him, but the crooks and prostitutes believed him. Even when you saw their lives transformed, you did not want to change yours and believe in him. Jesus said, "There was a man, a rich farmer, who planted a vineyard. He fenced it, dug a wine press, built a watchtower, leased it to tenant farmers, and went on a journey. When the harvest time came, he sent his servants to collect his share of the profits. The tenant farmers seized the first servant and beat him. The second one was killed. They stoned the third. The farmer sent other servants, but they received the same treatment. Almost without hope, he decided to send his son, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenant farmers saw the farmer's son, they rubbed their hands with greed and said, 'This is the heir. Let's kill him and take the vineyard.' So they seized him and killed him right there. Tell me, when the owner of the vineyard returns, what do you think he will do to the tenant farmers? He will kill them. He will get rid of those people. Then he will lease the vineyard to others who will share the profits with him when the time comes." Jesus replied, "And you can confirm it in the scriptures. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. We rubbed our eyes, barely believing it. So it is with you. The kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who will live the kingdom life fully. Whoever stumbles on this stone will be shattered, and anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." Jesus said, "The kingdom of God," he said, "is like a king who held a wedding banquet for his son. He sent messengers to call the invited guests, but they did not come. He sent another group with the following message: 'Everything is ready. The meat is prepared to roast. Come to the feast.' However, they shrugged it off. One went to tend his garden, another went to work in his trade. The rest, having nothing better to do, beat and killed the messengers. The king was furious and sent his soldiers to eliminate those ruffians and destroy their city. Then he said to his servants, 'We have a wedding banquet prepared, but no guests. The people I invited did not come. Go to the busiest street corners and invite anyone you find to the banquet.' They went out into the streets, calling everyone they could find, without distinguishing the good from the bad. At the time of the banquet, all the seats were filled. When the king entered the room, he noticed a man who was not dressed appropriately and asked him, 'Friend, how did you dare to come to the feast dressed like that?' The man was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, 'Get him out of here quickly. Tie him up and send him to hell. Make sure he doesn't come back.' This is what I mean when I say, many are invited, but few participate. Jesus said, "Learn the lesson of the fig tree. When you see it beginning to blossom and turn green, you know that summer is approaching. The same will happen with you. When you see the signs, you will know that it won't be long." Take this seriously. I am not only addressing future generations, but you as well. This era will continue until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never pass away. Jesus said, "The coming of the Son of Man will be like this. Two men will be working in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master is staying away a long time,' and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is like 10 virgins who, with lamps in hand, went out to greet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones did not take extra oil to replenish their lamps. The wise ones, thinking ahead, carried flasks of oil. The bridegroom took a while to come, and all of them fell asleep. In the middle of the night, someone shouted, 'He is here! The bridegroom is here! Come out to meet him!' The 10 virgins went out with their lamps. The foolish virgins said to the wise ones, 'Our lamps are going out. Lend us some of your oil.' The wise virgins replied, 'There is not enough for all of us. If you want oil, go buy some.' They did so, but while they were out buying oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the feast, and the door was shut. Later, the foolish virgins came and knocked on the door, pleading, 'We are here. Let us in.' But the bridegroom asked, 'Do I know you? I don't think so. Therefore, stay alert. You do not know when the bridegroom will arrive.' Jesus said, 'The kingdom of God is also like a man who went on a long journey. Before leaving, he called his servants and delegated responsibilities to them. To the first, he gave 5,000 coins, to the second 2,000, and to the third 1,000 according to their abilities. Having done this, he left. Immediately the first servant began to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same, but the man who received 1,000 coins preferred to store them in a safe. After a long absence, their master returned and settled accounts with the 3 servants. The one who had received 5,000 coins reported that he had doubled the investment. The master praised him. 'Good job! You knew how to negotiate. From now on, you will be my partner.' The servant who had received 2,000 coins also managed to double the master's investment, and the master praised him. 'Good job! You knew how to negotiate. From now on, you will be my partner.' The servant who had received 1,000 coins declared, 'Master, I know you have high standards and hate poorly done things, that you are extremely demanding and do not tolerate mistakes. I was afraid of disappointing you, so I kept your money in a very secure safe. Here is your money, safe and sound, down to the last cent.' The master was furious. 'I hate this life philosophy that does not accept taking risks. If you know that I'm demanding, why did you not do the minimum that could be expected? The minimum would have been to invest the money in a bank. There would at least have been a small return.' He ordered, 'Take the 1,000 coins and give them to the one who risked the most, and remove Mr. Guarantee from here. Throw him out into the outer darkness.' Jesus said, 'When the Son of Man finally comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.